Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? Ew, seriously. They squeeze the grease out of the wool and process it with chemicals, and then you eat it. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I got rid of products I didn't want anywhere near my body. I found that many multivitamins contain high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and even lacked some of the nutrients we actually needed. So what did I do? At 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. Ritual's products are made traceable, meaning we share the science and sourcing for every single ingredient. For example, our vegan vitamin D3 comes from sustainably harvested lichen in Nottingham, England, not sheep. We trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. See for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Distance and my heart's the sand, flowing through the hourglass. Time to let go of all we know. Break our hearts in stride with the latest episode of Columbia House Party. Jake, what's up, man? You ready to break some hearts? You ready to let it all flow through the hourglass? Let go of all we know?
Look, that's kind of what I do every day. So I think it's only right that we do it here
too. You're out here breaking hearts every day?
Not really. I don't know what that meant, but yeah, I am ready.
That's okay.
I am ready.
That's okay.
I am ready.
How are you?
I'm good. I mean, as good as one can be, I suppose. I've been called grumpy today by my wife.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got outed on Twitter for being grumpy.
I feel like grumpy gets conflated with like quiet these days. I don't care for it. I won't stand for it. And I will fight my reputation for my reputation. I don't know.
I like that you say these days as if you've seen more than one person in the last 13 months to call you grumpy.
Also very accurate.
Yeah. So today we're discussing a 2004 album that came at sort of the back end of the pop punk boom that we've focused on this podcast, with a band that in my mind sort of marks a transition between eras or ages. This is the official... When this song comes on during emo night at Sneaky D's, you notice how old you are relative to the rest of the crowd. Today, we're talking about the debut album, Kind Of, from Hawthorne Heights, The Silence in Black and White.
Let's go down now into the darkness of your thoughts.
Towards the light.
So that song is Nikki FM. Jake, I'm going to open it to you. Do you have any Hawthorne Heights connections? I know this is not a Jake band. I have been with you at Sneaky D's emo night way back when their big song came on and got a no sell from Jake. You are, to my recollection, not a big Hawthorne Heights guy?
No. So we've done a few episodes on this show where it was like, I listened to the album for the first time, like Lil Wayne. I hadn't listened to the Carter 3 front to back before. This is the first band we're doing where I've never listened to the band before. That moment or that time the song came on that you're referencing at emo night, I'm sure it happened. I sure don't remember it, but it wouldn't be enough to say that I have no personal connection to this band, because I couldn't off the top of my head until the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 songs that we're covering today, had never listened to this band in my life.
Not even the big one?
No. I'm like,
wow.
I just missed them entirely. And then I think they never crossed my radar sort of in my going back to get into this kind of stuff a little bit later. So I have nothing.
This is why I think they're interesting. And when I said they're kind of like the dividing line age-wise, you know, you and I are only 2 years apart. I dated someone a few years ago who I think was 4 years younger than me. And we were at Sneaky D's for an emo night once. And she was a huge Hawthorne Heights fan and like popped for their songs coming on the way you and I would pop for a Motion City soundtrack song or a Take You Back Sunday song or something. And like, in doing this podcast, we've been asked a number of times if we're doing Hawthorne Heights. And I've kind of been like, really? Like that's a little surprising. And then you dig in, and I think the enormity of that song had, like, I think I underestimated it. And then I think also that if you remember way back to a mailbag episode when we got asked, what does someone who doesn't know what emo is think emo is? Like, and we talked around like something corporate and Tom DeLonge's Where Are You and I'm So Sorry. I feel like Hawthorne Heights, maybe at this time, before we started to get some really good screamier post-hardcore slash emo stuff, they were what people who had no knowledge of the scene thought a screamo band was. Mm-hmm. And that's not fair to Hawthorne Heights or to screamo, because they're like, I mean, at their core, like a pretty soft, like power punk band kind of, I guess. And like more recently, like just a rock band, but they obviously had the kind of unclean screamy vocals. Anyway,
maybe that's what it is. Like maybe, cause like I've talked a lot about sort of my own, say, personal, what's the word I'm looking for? Contradictory hypocrisy is what I'm looking for, about how when I was like 16, 17-ish, when this album would have come out, I was very much like, oh, this is too emo or screamo or whatever. I hate that stuff. Meanwhile, I was going and listening to Black Parade and Commit This to Memory every day. But I feel like anytime I've ever heard this band referenced, I feel like they're definitely in that category that I probably, to your point, unfairly put them in when I was younger. So I never really, it's not even that I didn't like it. It's just that I never even listened to it.
You didn't engage with it at all. Yeah.
In my pretentious, dumb bullshit, there was something in me being like, oh no, that band's not punk. I don't want to listen to this, or some nonsense like that.
Now, look, we've done that a lot with your, you know, early tastes, and like you've had to come back around on bands. I don't think this is one you're going to have to come back around on. Like, it's, I really just find them, we obviously don't want to do an episode and be negative about the group. And I liked this album, and I liked some of the songs on this album, and even some of their earlier stuff under a different name, where it's like a lot more raw kind of emo pop punk. But I just find them fascinating with the amount of times that like they've come up in conversations on Twitter or with, you know, at shows or whatever with younger people. I guess shows isn't the right word, maybe festivals, where there does seem to be a split where for some people, Hawthorne Heights was maybe their gateway into this type of music. And I was not that. Like, I think, I don't know. I think maybe there's an age gap or something like that, or just like a cutoff somewhere in there. I don't know. We'll play around with it a little bit as we get into the history of Hawthorne Heights and that big song that we keep tiptoeing around that everyone obviously knows and is waiting for us to get to. We're also going to play around with the YouTube algorithm a little later. We're replacing our final segment today because Jake hasn't listened to any other Hawthorne Heights albums, and there is such a very clear song that's going on the mixtape here to where it's already in the spreadsheet. I already jumped the gun and put it in the spreadsheet. So we're going to use that segment to play a little game with the YouTube algorithm. First, we're going to talk about Hawthorne Heights, who, if you were back in the emo slash pop punk LimeWire scene around 2002, you may have known by a different name. We're going to talk about that after this.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? Ew, seriously. They squeeze the grease out of the wool and process it with chemicals, and then you eat it. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I got rid of products I didn't want anywhere near my body. I found that many multivitamins contain high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and even lacked some of the nutrients we actually needed. So what did I do? At 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. Ritual's products are made traceable, meaning we share the science and sourcing for every single ingredient. For example, our vegan vitamin D3 comes from sustainably harvested lichen in Nottingham, England, not sheep. We trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. See for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. So, Jake, let me ask you, when you were listening and diving into this, did you hear the Beatles influence?
No. Was I supposed to?
No. No, but it sets me up for the first point in the history of Hawthorne Heights. Formed in 2001 in Dayton, Ohio, they were originally formed under the name A Day in the Life, which is a reference to a Beatles song. As A Day in the Life, they released a demo, an album, and a six-song EP that was later re-released. There is some disagreement in the band on why the name changed. So, there are some sources, including drummer Aaron Bucciarelli. I think I'm Bucciarelli, maybe. Apologies to Aaron if I mispronounce that. On one of the band's DVDs, he claims the name was changed after author Nathaniel Hawthorne, and that was long thought to be the origin. If you look on like band names explained or sites like that, that is what gets the most credit. However, in a Hawthorne Heights homeschool YouTube session, Matt Ridner explained that he passed a hotel called Hawthorne Inn and Suites and liked it and decided to add an E and Heights to it from there. Sadly, Jake, the band name is not an homage to Pierce Hawthorne and the Hawthorne Wipes Empire.
They don't have a pocket full of Hawthorns?
No. they do have a song with just as silly a name, though. As you might expect from a band in this scene coming up around the time of 2001 to 2003, they had some Fall Out Boyish titled song names as A Day in the Life, including this one, Do You Have a Map? Because I'm Lost in Your Eyes.
I don't remember if I talked with this when we did Taking Back Sunday, but did I mention what I inwardly refer to as Buffalo bands when we did that episode?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so I have a grouping of music in my brain that is not official and is not cataloged. It's this thing, when I hear it, I'm like, that's a Buffalo band. And the reason I call it a Buffalo band is because I have a lot of family in Buffalo. So my family and I used to drive to Buffalo a lot. And when I was a teenager, going anywhere in the car for more than 7 minutes meant popping my headphones in the back seat and listening to stuff. And there's like a period of time, I'm going to say from like 14 to 16, let's say, 13 to 16, where there is a, I guess that would be early 2000s emo sound that was very popular with some bands like Taking Back Sunday and not so popular with other bands and just like random crap you'd find either on LimeWire or at the back end of the punk show or something. And they all kind of sound the same, but not the same. And it's hard to explain because this is just a thing in my brain. But any emo band that kind of sounds like this song or kind of sounds like Taking Back Sunday or Brand New or...
Yeah, there's definitely some early Brand New on that one.
Yeah. So I call those Buffalo bands because they make me think about sitting in the backseat of the car driving to Buffalo, trying out these new bands that I just like come across.
And here I thought you were going to go down the Buffalo emo route with a Cute Is What We Aim For reference. But I guess that was you predated that.
I did. But like they're also not in that grouping.
Yeah, they're certainly adjacent. Anyway, I really like that song. I went back and listened to as much of the A Day in the Life stuff as I could. And I mean, I'm never really going to be in favor of a band name change. They probably had to in this case, but the first two albums, I think are like the A Day in the Life one and their first one is Hawthorne Heights, are better's not the right word because it's really raw and like not super produced and stuff, but I like it. There are a couple good songs on there. It's a much more kind of like you're getting to like a more early 2000s emo punk sound, certainly less of the screaming that would kind of come to define their sound. So JT Woodruff is their primary vocalist, and there's that back and forth on The Silence in Black and White with Casey Calvert, who's the person who does the kind of unclean vocals. So they released their A Day in the Life debut album and EP on Confined Records. Then for this one, they jumped to Victory Records. So obviously, Victory Records is, you know, they're kind of along with Chris Walla, kind of in the old Columbia House Party Hall of Fame. We're going to get into, there's a note a little later about the Hawthorne Heights and where they stand in Victory Records history. That is pretty interesting. So going to that label allowed them a bit more time and experimentation in the recording process. It's clear you can hear the growth and the sharpening up and the better idea of what their sound was going to be. Also, the album was primarily produced by Sean O'Keefe, who was still on his way up at that time. Sean O'Keefe is probably best known for being the producer behind Hey There, Delilah by Plain White Tees.
Oh, yeah. But
at this point, he'd primarily worked on a couple Motion City soundtrack splits. He'd done some mixing for Less Than Jake, and he produced on Take This to Your Grave, Fall Out Boy's album that proceeded From Under the Cork Tree. So O'Keefe very much hands in the scene at this point. So one of the weirdest things about this album, actually, you know what, I'm just going to put a song clip here instead, because I want you to hear what the early Hawthorne Heights sound was, as they, I guess I'll say early Hawthorne Heights because they were no longer A Day in the Life, and this song is the first one they wrote for this album and kind of through that new recording and producing process. This is called The Transition.
So here we are, back to the start again, trying hard to wait till morning.
Real like NHL 2003 soundtrack vibes.
Oh yeah,
this one.
That is a of the time guitar and drum kind of line there. Also, by the way, in preparing for this episode, I found the 2021 version of, remember on LimeWire or Napster or whatever, you would download a song and not realize until it was on a CD or your player or whatever that you had got a looped version and it was just the same 30 seconds over and over again?
Yes, of course.
So, worse. It's the worst. A fate worse than death. So Spotify has an instrumental version of this album, and I fired up The Transition earlier this week, and I was like, damn, I do not remember there being like a 2-minute musical lead into a song in the middle of the album. It's not. I was accidentally listening to the instrumental version. Why there's an instrumental version, I'm not really clear, but there is.
I don't want to artists can make whatever they want, and that's absolutely their prerogative. But like,
bad take alarm going off.
Who is that for? Who is an instrumental emo album for?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's
unless you're releasing it for in GarageBand formats or Logic formats, so people can chop it up and like sample it. And like just an instrumental emo album. Like I wouldn't listen to an instrumental
direct to Lil Peep's
band I like.
Computer.
Yeah. Like if a band I like did that, I wouldn't be interested.
Yeah. Not the weirdest thing about this album at all. So the song we played off the top, Nikki FM, is very like from the movie Say Anything, right down to the lyrics. As JT Woodruff describe that song and its conclusion, this is kind of the overarching theme of the album. even though the primary single is like a darker vibe, the overarching theme of the album is, and this is a quote from GT, "The answer is always romance," which, Yeah, I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy. So Nikki FM ended up being the second single. But I think one of the things that's most interesting about this band and this album is that it feels big in retrospect because it does get talked about a lot. And the main single was huge. And Hawthorne Heights are still around. Like, they're the self-proclaimed dads of sad. But there isn't really that, like, standout other Hawthorne Heights song. And there's, like, they had some songs. And the follow-up album to this one has a single, "Saying Sorry," which we'll play a little later. That's pretty good and got some buzz. But really, this is, you know, looking back, and we can quantify this even a little bit, it's kind of a one-song standout. So here's some numbers, Jake. We're going to get into the analytics for you.
Okay.
On Genius, there are only the two singles are the only ones that show, you know how on Genius, when you go on the album page, it shows you how many people have looked for those lyrics?
Mm-hmm.
But it only shows a number once you cross a critical threshold. So only the two singles cross that threshold and have the lyric view count, which is, in my experience, a decent indicator of, like, people check this out, because that's primarily a hip hop based site, but it can signal some crossover success. The other way we can look at that is on Spotify. The band is primarily their one big song with a bajillion plays, and then Nikki FM and Saying Sorry have a good amount of streams, and then everything else is like low seven figures, which is still good. You know, anytime
more
a million
than, more than listen, I have,
yeah, it's still a million people listening to your song, but like the outsized presence of one song on there is pretty notable. And some of the low seven figure ones include "Life on Standby," which I think is a pretty good opening track, and "Silver Bullet," which I like as a song, but it's, I think, so we'll talk about how this was received as, like they got roasted a little bit for some of their cheesy lyrics. "Silver Bullet" is the one. but Jake, let's stop burying the lead. These guys are from Dayton, Ohio. And you know what they say about Ohio, Jake?
I've heard it's for lovers.
Ohio is for lovers. If you fired up this episode, you're surely waiting for this song to play. You probably know all the lyrics, even without realizing you know all the lyrics. This is the song that we're talking about that stood out to us, had the breakthrough success, is the one that gets played at emo night, is the one with 55 million Spotify plays when nothing else, you know, crosses the 10 or 12 million threshold for this band. This is the Hawthorne Heights song. This is kind of the pop punk-ish song of 2004. This is "Ohio is for Lovers."
Hey there, I know it's hard to feel like I don't care at all where you are and how you feel. With these lights off, that's each wheels keep rolling on and on. Slow things down, I'll speed them up. Not enough for
any great standout song from a genre has iconic, instantly recognizable opening to that.
Okay. Yeah, I would have thought so for me. Like when we were talking about this, I know the song title is like more recognizable to me than the song, if that makes sense. I was like, I know there's a big emo song called Ohio's for Lovers, but I expected, kind of going back to it, as you said, it would be one of those things. It was like the opening riff, like, I know this song. Took me a while.
Man, that little.
Yeah.
That's instantly puts me in a place, and that place is Ohio, baby. it is. So look, this is, I mentioned that they got some criticism for the lyrics and kind of how plain and cheesy they are. And you do have to get past the cut my wrists and black my eyes stuff in this song. I will go to bat for this song as still a good song. It's got, like I said, a pretty notable intro. It's the best example of their dual singers kind of working together. It's got a very memorable chorus and, as was necessary at this time, a very memorable and kind of goofy music video. So again, I'll point out it has 55 million Spotify plays. None of their other songs top 13.5 million. It has 44,000 lyric reads on Genius. Nothing else tops 10,000. It is the Hawthorne Heights song, and it's the height of their popularity. And they rode that a little bit, as we'll talk about in a second. Interestingly enough, despite how, you know, I mean, I don't know how to frame it sensitively, the cut my wrists and black my eyes stuff, JT has explained that the song is about leaving partners behind while on tour. Sadly, Jake, it's not about that time I was depressed in Canton, Ohio, when I was on the road with Raptors 905. By the way, this song, we talked about Sean O'Keefe producing on this album. This song also had Jay Orpin helping produce, and he is credited on his Wikipedia page with an anthem of teen angst and helping launch this kind of pop is dead rallying cry of sorts. That's, it is the album. I mean, like, look, did you, when you went into this, did any of the other songs like really stand out to you the way Ohio Is for Lovers does?
You know, I don't want to say the customer is always right, but I think this one's pretty clearly, like, the numbers speak for themselves also, but I think there's a reason. Like, it's one of those like popular things are popular for a reason kind of things.
It's a good song. I'm still, like I said, I'm a fan of the transition and Life on Standby. I like the album fine and the stuff that came before it. But for Hawthorne Heights, nothing really touches Ohio Is for Lovers, which is unfortunate because, you know, in reading their press and stuff like that, they seem like nice guys. And the Dads of Sad is a funny tagline.
It's great. It's a great name. I love that.
But as we're going to talk about after the next break, they rode the momentum of Ohio Is for Lovers to some success, but never quite reached that height again. We're going to talk about that after this.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. So Ohio Is for Lovers. Big, big success. So at the time that this album came out, Jake, Victory Records' highest selling debut album.
Really?
Yes.
That's wild to me.
Yeah. It hit number 56 on Billboard. It was number one on the Heat Seekers chart. It eventually went gold. It was not, however, received very well by the few outlets that reviewed it. AllMusic gave it a 2.5. Punk News gave it a 0.5 out of 5. calling it too predictable and cliche and just ripping the songwriting to shreds.
I feel like also to my earlier point of not listening to this band, I was a big reader of punk news at the time and like a big, like, please tell me what's cool kind of thing. So that checks out.
The users of punk news at least liked it and gave it a composite ranking of 3.5. So don't feel too bad, Hawthorne Heights. Plus, you got to tour with Alexis on Fire and Silverstein and Emery. So you got to tour with two friends of the pod and the Christian rock band that most snuck up on me when I was a fan of them. Who knew with Emery?
Five Iron Frenzy of emo.
Yeah, who knew? Then they toured with Sugar Cult, another favorite of mine. So,
oh, Sugar Cult are great.
Yeah. To follow up from the success of really Ohio Is for Lovers, but for The Silence in Black and White, they released If Only You Were Lonely in 2006. That actually hit number 3 on the charts, in part because Saying Sorry was their most popular single outside of Ohio Is for Lovers. This is Saying Sorry, If Only You Were Lonely.
These colors will not change. You change the way I see them. These words will fade when you explain why you hate them. We are the same. She keeps repeating.
Tragedy in the band. Guitarist and the person who does kind of the unclean screaming vocals, Casey Calvert, was found dead on the band's tour bus due to an accidental combined drug intoxication. As a pharmacologist told MTV News, that particular mix having that particular result was one in several million. Was related to antidepressants and panic attack medication, not, you know, substance abuse stuff. The band wrote the song For Become One about Casey, and while the other band members will fill in live for his parts, the band continues to list him as a contributor on albums and have not added a different kind of screamer slash unclean vocalist, saying that if fans want screaming on the songs, they can add it themselves because they won't replace Casey. To date, the band has released 6 albums, 8 if you include the one they released as A Day in the Life and the acoustic anniversary edition of The Silence in Black and White. Most recently, they released Bad Frequencies in 2018. And as far as I can tell, they're still together. So cool for them.
You know what? I'm going to say that's like legitimately cool. For there's so many of these bands that had, especially in that like 2004 to 2007 emo period, that had the one massive hit and then that was it. So good for them for still trucking. That sounds dismissive, but I mean it genuinely.
No, I mean, look, they haven't had a great deal of commercial success. Their first two albums went gold, and they had, you know, some of their other albums charted a little bit on the US or US indie charts. But like that album they released in 2018 didn't really do much. Zero, the one they released in 2013, didn't really do much. It's cool. I imagine that they really enjoy making music together.
Yeah.
They don't do a lot of press, so it's hard to confirm that. But yeah. Okay, Jake, it's time to play a game. I believe this is the third game we've played on Columbia House Party, I think. We did the Fall Out Boy, Can You Guess, Is This Song Title Real or Fake? way back when. We did the which Blink-182 or Blink-182 adjacent band is this? And today, Jake, we're going to play a little 6 Degrees of Screamo.
Okay.
So we're doing this because Ohio is for Lovers is obviously going on the mixtape. It's already in the spreadsheet. It's on the mixtape. So we're going to play this game called that I made up called 6 Degrees of Screamo. So for years, I've made the joke that no matter what I listen to on YouTube, the YouTube algorithm then suggests or just plays Ohio is for Lovers next. Now, we've covered earlier in this podcast that they are not a band that I listen to a ton. They're a band I'm familiar with and like some of the songs. And, you know, Ohio is for Lovers is certainly on some mixtapes and mix CDs. But they're not a band that I listen to enough on YouTube to dominate the algorithm. Yet, it does. This is any wrestling fan knows that you can't watch more than 2 wrestling videos without it being suggested to you that you watch Simon Gotch shoots on Enzo Amore. this is the pop punk version or emo version of that. So I looked into this, and according to the internet, the YouTube algorithm is a real-time feedback loop aimed to find the right videos for you and, more importantly, to get you to keep watching. So it does use your user behavior closely. The recommendation process ranks videos by assigning them performance analytics scores, and then they match the video to you based on your history and the history of similar people. So the underlying idea there is that even if I don't listen to a lot of Hawthorne Heights necessarily, a lot of people who listen to the stuff that I listen to a lot of Hawthorne Heights. So again, we're kind of coming full circle here back to our initial thought that maybe there's a little bit of a slight generation divide or an age gap, and there's that separation at emo night where half the audience goes to the bar and the other half freaks out on the floor. This is going back several years. I'm too old for emo night, even in a post-pandemic world. So obviously there are a ton of real like social and sociological problems with YouTube's algorithm and the way it works. But for our purposes, it's funny today. So we're going to play a little game to explore just how dominant Ohio is for Lovers is on YouTube for me. By the way, Ohio is for Lovers has the best top YouTube comment that I've seen. It is, man, depression was just better in the 2000s.
I mean.
So, Jake, I tasked you with coming up with 5 different things for me. And I'm going to see how many clicks it takes me to get to Ohio is for Lovers.
Okay.
So the first one you have to give me, and I hope you prepped because
I did. Yeah. Okay, I got gotcha. You.
So we're going to get progressively harder to get to Ohio is for Lovers. And before anyone jumps in the Discord or in our mentions or whatever, I realize that by clicking on Ohio is for Lovers in each of these instances, we're going to increase the likelihood of it coming up again. But I'm hoping that washes out with the fact that we won't be listening to the whole song. I'll just be clicking onto the next one. So here we go, Jake. Give me a pop punk song.
Okay, so I intentionally made this hopefully difficult because I wanted to see how far it could stretch.
Is that too difficult? Because it's going to be a terrible segment if so.
So for the pop punk song, I went with Not the Same by Body Jar.
Wow. Okay.
Which is an Australian pop punk band. This is on a Tony Hawk soundtrack, I believe.
Yeah, Tony Hawk 3. Okay, so I'm going to click that. All right, from here, I'm going to click Still Into You by Paramore.
Okay.
So that's 1. Oh, wow. We're there already. Ohio is for Lovers.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
We went Paramore right to Ohio is for Lovers. Okay, so
okay.
That's even for Body Jar, that's a quick
All right, we crossed quick one. Transatlantic.
Yeah.
Transpacific. All of the other ones are bands we have not covered on this show.
Okay, good. Yeah, because Body Jar was
fair, right. A band. Fair point. Fair point.
So you got to give me an emo song now.
Okay, so I went with I Can Be Afraid of Anything by The World is a Beautiful Place, and I am no longer afraid to die.
All right. That's a good song.
It is a good song.
All right. I'm going to go Blink-182 Adam song.
Ooh, okay.
Off of there.
Apple juice. It's just like suspenseful. Okay. I like this.
Yeah, I'm going Cute Without the E, Taking Back Sunday.
Okay.
From here. So that's 2. Oh, there it is again.
Oh, all right. Wow.
So that okay. was, hey, that was one step harder. That was okay. one step harder. So that makes sense. And hey, we're that was three clicks. So by at this rate, if they continue to get one step harder, they'll be. I got to choose carefully too, because like I was tempted to click Coheed off of the Blink 182 there, and I think that might have taken us at a different.
I was gonna say, I feel like direction. You got to tailor it a little bit to make sure that the algorithm keeps up.
Well, I mean, I'm doing this strategically, right?
Yeah, of course. It'd be a really all boring right. segment if you weren't.
Yeah. Now you got to hit me with an indie song. And by the way, I'm going to do my best to not repeat songs that I'm clicking. So Paramore came up again there and I tried to pick something different. So I'm going to try to do that as much as I can, because otherwise the game becomes, can I find Paramore? And then
right.
Ohio Is for Lovers will come up. Fair. So, all right. So give me an indie song.
So for an indie song, I went with Don't Let's Start by They Might Be Giants.
All right. We're going to go Weezer, Say It Ain't So.
Okay. There's no way it's there right away.
No. All the part of my language. All the suggestions are Weezer songs.
That's right, going to mess up your algorithm.
Yeah. We're going to go Welcome to the Black Parade and see if we can get there.
Okay. Through yeah. that.
Yeah, we're there. Okay.
There it is.
We got Ohio's for Lovers off wow. the Black Parade. By the way, it's definitely pushing Ohio's for Lovers higher now because
we're clicking it a lot. So. It's just gonna be Weezer and Ohio's for Lovers from now on.
No, what we're gonna have to do next time is we're gonna have to open up an incognito or clear cookies or something like that.
Mm.
But we'll continue to go and see if we can do it. So now give me a song out of genre entirely.
Okay, so this song is Inspector Norse by Todd Terrier. Terrier is T-E-R-J-E.
Obviously.
One of the best electronic songs of the decade.
We'll pick the official music video where a guy's playing with his dog instead of the lyric video.
Great video.
There are hey, we could get to our we could get to Enzo Amore and Simon Gotcher probably, because one of the suggestions is The Undertaker surprises Kane with WWE Hall of Fame news.
There you go. That's odd.
Where are we going here? Man, when you said electronic, I was hoping like a Skrillex would come up and I could go
from first to last. And, yeah.
Yeah. And make my way back. All right. I'm going to go New Order Blue Monday. I don't really know why that's in the suggestions, but we'll see if
there's synths in both songs.
Yeah.
We'll see if we
can get our way
synth
back.
Synth bass.
All right. We're going to go because I don't want to cheat and I don't want to use Blink-182 again. So I'm going to go, you're going to take a risk here and go Oasis Champagne Supernova.
Ooh.
Let's see if we can get back there now. So that's two. See, there's Weezer again. Now it's just, ooh. Okay. We're going to go Bowling for Soup, 1985.
That'll get there. See if we can get. I would have to think that would get, I almost actually picked that for the pop punk song. So that's,
nice. Okay. We're not there yet, but, we can go Offspring, Want You Bad. And I think we'll get there. No, we're not there yet. Okay.
Wow.
So we got one more. Again, keep in mind, I am skipping some of the ones we've already used. So like right now, Paramore is up. I know if I click Paramore, we'll get Ohio's
first. Right.
But I'm not going to do that. We're trying. All right. We're going to go All Time Low, Dear Maria, Count Me In. And we're going to see if that gets us there. Yes. Okay. We're there. So that one was, that one was five. That was the hardest one yet. This is, it's tough. I can't believe we got a wrestling one suggested. We could have, I shouldn't have used the Enzo Amore joke early. Zoobs won't be listening probably, but he would pop for the Enzo Amore. Okay, Jake, now give me just literally any YouTube video.
Okay, so the literally any YouTube video is throat exercises that may help with sleep apnea.
Do you, have you been using this lately? Is that
why? I was given it to by my doctor this morning because I snore a lot. I do not have sleep apnea, but I do snore a lot, so okay. I thought it might help.
Is this the one by KMBC9?
Is that yes.
There are a bunch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the KMBC one.
So it's a news report.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. A lot of yoga stuff. Which that's how you guys know I'm being healthy lately or trying to. And a couple more wrestling ones. I'm gonna go wrestling because I think that's our best path to getting back into our genre of music. So we're gonna go Drew McIntyre brings the fight to the Raw locker room. That's one click. Oh, I wonder if I get to Edge's entrance music if I can get back. All right. Edge confronts Daniel Bryan over WrestleMania demands. That's two. Give me Edge's entrance music. I can't believe that they don't suggest Edge's entrance music. You think if you click on a thing of a guy, that's what they do, right?
You would think so.
Okay, I'm going to click a different Edge one. How Edge's perseverance took him to the pinnacle of WWE. Mostly I just want to play just Edge's all theme song Edge. On the spot. Yeah. Okay, there we go. So we got Edge's entrance music now. Or we got a video of Edge's entrance at Monday Night Raw, June 2007. His entrance music is an all-timer, by the way. Actually, you know what? I'm going to leave a little spot in here for producer Dylan to throw in Edge's entrance music.
You think you know me.
On this day.
Anyway, I think I'm going to fail in this one. Oh, we can get to the killers, Mr. Brightside. Ooh, from Edge's entrance.
That could do it.
It did not. It's pretty much just Paramore and Blink 182 now. So we're going to come up one click short. Again, if we were cheating the system and could just go to Paramore a bunch, we would get there. But so we failed with the throat exercises. I'm sorry. which is tough because, you know, the throaty singing on Ohio is for Lovers is the only kind of singing I'm good at. And I imagine you'd need some throat exercises after. It's a natural pivot in my mind.
Yeah, I think it's, I thought that it was throat related. So it might bring some like how to scream emo kind of things. And then.
Wrong.
No.
Wrong. All right, man. So that's it. Ohio's for Lovers going on the mixtape. It's going on my YouTube algorithm forever now.
Try the fish.